Secretary is gone today, so I will be presiding as vice chair, and I guess we'll turn over to Jason to give us the update. So Jason, provide the update.
I'm pleased to give you a status update report on where we're at with the regional discussions. My review will cover what we talked about last Thursday and also last night, where we had yet another workshop. And at the end of that discussion, I'll review the overall progress that we've had thus far during the last few months. So starting with workshop number 7, which was last Thursday, we went into that workshop to discuss 3 visions that had been expressed for the regional formation as general concepts. One was this notion of including all of the existing and future capacity assets within the regional entity, something that we called the all-in concept. The other was one where the future board would only focus on future capacity, only new assets. And another concept where there would be an expansion of the Des Moines Water Works Board or some permutation of that. Those were the 3 that have been discussed. But we decided in workshop 7 to then focus on this all-in concept with the inclusion of assets from all around the region, as most people seem to think that was probably the best course for us to pursue. What it includes is sort of summarized here in terms of the assets. It would be all the regional production assets from everywhere in the region. That would include the Des Moines Water Works facilities, certainly, but it would also include some others. There are other water production assets out there, specifically in West Des Moines, also Altoona, Polk City, potentially some others. And with respect to governance and representation in that model, we discussed 3 alternatives last Thursday. I'll review those briefly here in a little bit. What it would also include is measuring and paying for the reserve capacity in all of these assets. We defined reserve capacity as that which is essentially unused at the moment. And handling of operations, or how we would deal with operations for all of these facilities, is the initial operating agreements would be made with the existing producers, the existing owners of those facilities for some period of time. And we discussed how all aspects of this concept could be implemented immediately, except that we rationalized that perhaps the payment for these reserve capacity units could be delayed for a few years while the proposed regional entity got up and on its feet and had its own financial capacity from which to finance those purchases. That was a thought that was discussed. Well, the idea for this, we've been doing a little bit of live polling on the last few workshops, and we just kind of posed the question is, what did you think about this general framework? And at least with the people who were in the room and had mobile phones from which to vote from, we had 93% in concurrence that the general idea was a good one. There were some things that we needed to address, though. It wasn't as though everything that was proposed that particular night was perfect. So we came out of that with some ideas that we needed to explore a little further, and we opted to try to do that in workshop number 8, which was held last night. And these items in red here are some of the things that we wanted to hit. So with respect to asset inclusion, there were some refinements requested there. Specifically, some of the producers wanted to have a little time in which to include their assets into the region. We talked about some ideas for that. We talked about the governance structure more in depth last night. And we talked about the term of the operating agreements, and we talked about timing for implementation just a bit. At the end of that 7th workshop, we also asked people in the audience, people participating in the workshop, what they thought about the framework in terms of what they liked least about it. And in general, we had these were the number of voters for that question. Most people liked all of the elements of the proposal that were put out there. There were a few that garnered some votes in terms of things they didn't like. So the idea of asset inclusion, probably the number one of those, how to measure and pay for reserve capacity, and then some questions about governance and representation. So these were the three big areas of the votes that people really wanted to take a harder look at, which helped us formulate what we did for workshop number 8. So moving on to workshop number 8, we wanted to focus on the idea of board governance and its composition. That was number 1 on the agenda last night. And then we wanted to hit on those areas that people seemed to like least about the proposal, which included asset inclusion, the reserve capacity, the operating contracts, more details on those. And then we wanted to hit on what our next steps are with all of this and talk about the MOU that we're drafting right now, which I'll touch on a little bit later. So going into last night, we started with the concept of board composition and governance. We had 3 models that we introduced to the group, 2 of which are very well known to most of the members on the working group. The WRA model, as all of you are pretty familiar with, the DART model, and then a third that we're called a fixed size board, which unlike WRA and DART would say that set a limit of board seats on this fixed size board to 9, 11, 13, whatever people wanted, and then figure out how to allocate the board seats from there. We had a pretty good discussion about those 3 different models and different concepts and issues that come up with each. But in general, I think we reached a pretty broad consensus last night that the DART model has a lot of merit to it, and that it can help with what we need to do going forward, that we would try to adopt it and make it work for this proposed regional entity. Under that model, every member who signs onto the agreement would have a seat on this board. Some of the issues that the board would consider would require weighted voting, but we determined that the board itself could determine what those things are after the board was seated. For example, if there were to be committees that the board wanted to use in its governance structure, that they could decide to do that. We also discussed that the representatives on this board need not be elected officials, as it is in some of the other models. And that was part of the discussion. So we had a couple things that were unresolved out of that discussion. For one, there are some legal questions about how the seats could be appointed, whether that's required to be a mayoral appointment, or whether or not the existing water boards could make an appointment to this proposed new one. We don't have the answer for that, but it's a research topic that we have with the council that's been retained for this process, and he's working on it now. So that was sort of the lingering question that came out of the board composition last night, but I think the overall agreement was that the DART structure in and of itself is a good one, and that our task right now is to try to figure out how to make that work here. We had a more detailed discussion about asset inclusion last night that involved timing of including some of the assets from other producers, non-Des Moines Waterworks producers, I might say. So this would be West Des Moines, Altoona, Polk City, others perhaps, that there would be a timeline involved in including those assets. The timeline is sort of a variable timeline. It's really based on trigger events. The way that it was proposed is that there would be an immediate timing where most of the capacity would be brought into the region. That would include most really the assets and facilities currently owned and operated by Des Moines Waterworks. The other members then would have this period really between that signing of that agreement and the time in which the authority decides to go and build additional capacity. So the time in between those two events is this voluntary option period where the owners of the facilities and the authority could negotiate the timing for putting the assets into the region. All of this is meant to be done at equivalent terms. So if there's reserve capacity available here, it would be done with equivalent terms that are negotiated initially for all the other assets. And at some point there, though, towards the end, as the region starts to build new capacity, there's a call option that exists on all of these facilities where the authority itself could exercise that call option, acquire whatever reserve capacity remains at that time and bring it into the region. But at some date certain in the future, all of these facilities are foreseen to be included into the regional entity. It's just a matter of how long this timeline would play out. So we talked about this for a while last night. There was some general consensus that a timeline like this could work, that it, in concept it doesn't pose a real barrier to getting this agreement put together, but that the timing for it has a lot to do with some financial considerations that have to do with both the proposed structure of the regional entity as well as the existing financial condition of each and every one of the owners. So there's a business case that people would like to consider before they really make up their mind about how long this period could be, or whether it could be short, whether it be long, or whether these trigger events make sense. And so we have incomplete information available for people to feel comfortable making that kind of decision, I think was where we concluded. We then moved on to how we would measure reserve capacity. The overall formula for doing this was something we talked about in Workshop 7, and there was generally agreed that this made plenty of sense. What we did last night was to come back and refine a little bit on a couple of the inputs that go into this formula, one being this notion of actual owned capacity, which is the second line. You can see that formula there that's towards the bottom of the screen, that the actual capacity is that which the producers can produce at today, given existing assets and given their current operational constraints. And we agreed to a working definition that worked there for that. We also talked about how to measure maximum day demand, which is the fourth line there, which we proposed using some weighted average to do this, as opposed to just picking a maximum year from the past, or picking any year in particular, that there was a desire to smooth that a little bit. We talked about weighting schemes for that. I know this probably sounds a little technical, but it is pretty important. This is an extremely important calculation for the region. And we came up with some ideas on how that would work. And we'll be bringing that back the next chance we get. Talked about the operating contracts a bit. I think there was already broad consensus that the operating contracts would be negotiated and awarded initially to the existing operators, the existing owners of whatever assets and facilities are brought into the region. We also had some consensus that the initial term of those agreements is something that should be spelled out and included in the proposed 28F agreement. The length of the initial contracts, it was what we really wanted to talk about last night, and we determined that this was tied pretty closely to the concept we talked about a moment ago about the timeline for asset inclusion. And so therefore, because we need more information to determine the asset inclusion timeline, this particular timeline could be tied to it, and so those two things are joined together. Once the timeline for asset inclusion is known, then this term of agreement can be determined more easily. So we've kind of left this open-ended for the time being. But I think it's true that the intent is that those contracts would be long enough so that the new entity could get up and running without any kind of disruption in service. That's certainly true. And it'd probably be long enough to suit other objectives for the region as well. Okay, so that kind of wraps up where we ended up last night. It was an excellent discussion, and I think we made a lot of progress. What I wanted to do today, because I'm not scheduled to be back here for quite a while, is give you an idea of our progress overall here. We've been talking about these regional issues for a number of weeks, and as you know, I've been out here pretty frequently in those times, and it's worth getting a checkup on where we're at. When we started this entire discussion, we had 15 key topics that had been identified prior to starting any of these discussions. They ranged through different categories, and they ranged through different priorities. But a real quick summary here is 8 of those 15, we've either reached consensus or unanimous agreement upon it. Three of them, we're still in progress, working on them right now. Four of them have yet to be addressed, and importantly, we added one key issue that had not been identified prior to starting, and that's the issue regarding asset inclusion. So from the very beginning, that one was not on the slate, but it was added, and it became a major part of our discussion since, so I'd be remiss to not point it out. For those of you who are here and you know, the very first presentation I had for this group here, we laid out what all of those topics were and how we were going to go about prioritizing them and how we proposed to do that. We had a slate of discussions all set up. These all come from that presentation. Under the categories there, they fell into three categories, sort of three legs of the stool for regionalization. We tend to talk about the idea of level of service, governance, and economics as those legs. And then the topics within those are what you see in the second column there. And then over there on the far side, we've addressed them where it says okay. It says work in progress, or WIP, it means it's work in progress. And then NA means we have not addressed that particular issue. So with this, these first order issues, these were the ones that were identified as priority because we needed to get to those very first so that we could have an idea of what regional entity we would have at all to begin with. We couldn't have that vision at all without answering some of these questions. And so they were critical to answer first. That's why we called them the first order issues. We've addressed all of these, and incidentally, the one on the bottom is that new one where we talked about inclusion of assets, so I highlighted it there. That's what we've been talking about for at least the last three workshops. I would say that's still a work in progress. I think that's fair. We haven't reached total consensus on that, but we have on many of them, and I think the authority and structure of the board is very close. I'm calling it work in progress. I don't think we've come across the finish line on that, but we're very close on it. So with the respect to these first order issues that have been identified, we've touched on all of them. And we've reached pretty good consensus on half of them. And we're getting close on the other three that you see there. Second order issues were those that were best addressed depending on the way the first order issues were resolved. But we were actually able to touch on 4 out of 5 of these during our time together so far. So we talked about the operational authority of the proposed entity, the planning authority, the preservation of existing staff. That was part of the discussion about the operating agreements that I just mentioned, how we measure demands. We've touched on all of those, and we've reached pretty good consensus on those 4. The economic category there, the rate setting framework of the regional entity, we have not addressed. And it's going to require some more detailed looks in order to make that happen in a way that's going to satisfy everybody. So having a high level discussion about what that is one thing. I think it's natural for people to want to get down into some of the details on that. Given the level of discussion that we've been having, getting down into those kinds of details hasn't been practical for us, and so that one hasn't been addressed. And then there were third order issues, which are dependent on both the first and second. For natural reasons, because they're third order issues, some of these have not been addressed. Some of them are more important than others, I think. But the operating agreements, we did get to a point where we could talk about those. An organizational chart, you know, something that would show you how that regional entity would be organized, we haven't discussed, we haven't addressed. And then the last two are economic items again. Being able to prove the cost efficiency of the new regional entity, in other words, a business case that says this is a better approach than going at it on your own. Again, very detailed information needed there in order to prove that case. We haven't addressed it. And this demonstration of improved cost control is derivative of the proof of cost efficiency item there. So neither one of those have been addressed. So just in summary, the more important items to the discussion when we laid this out to begin with have almost all been addressed during the time in which we've spent together. A lot of these items we've reached consensus on. Some of these third order issues that we identified to begin with have not been addressed. I think that's natural given that they were third order issues to begin with. So where does that leave us today? We're in the process right now of preparing a memorandum of understanding. Even though we haven't addressed all of those issues, what we want to do is get the ones that we have addressed and have reached some agreement on, put into an MOU. That will outline the overall vision and the structure for the regional formation. It'll include some specific elements. Well, it'll include all the specific elements that we've talked about in these workshops. And it's meant to be a model for the proposed 28F. Once it goes to the 28F, of course, you'll get a different kind of format with that. You'll have a whole bunch of other legal language that needs to go in there. That legal language won't be in the MOU. The MOU will simply have all of these items that we've talked about as key elements of the agreement. It's meant to provide an approachable and a less formal document that's open and available for candid comments. That's the idea. It is what we want to get from circulating this MOU is even more refined and written comments. What that will allow us to do is to identify those areas where we really, really need to come back together and focus on resolving whatever conflict we still have on certain key points. But I think at this point in the process, the workshops that we've been having, as productive as they have been, are going to be less frequent, I believe. And I think circulating this document will actually be our best, most efficient way to start dealing with the framework that we have and identifying what gaps we still have to address. And once we know what those gaps really are, we can come back together in a workshop-type setting and help try to get those resolved. But I think that's going to be the most efficient use of time from this point forward. And with that, I think I've spoken long enough. I think what I do now is go to the blank screen and be happy to answer questions about the process and where we're at or anything else that you have. And then I'll yield to the floor.
All right. Jason? Any questions from... the committee on for Jason right now?
Jason, maybe you covered this, but you and Paul will be working on the MOU as to the financial data that we believe is going to be necessary for the trigger events. There was some discussion yesterday about that. Are you going to help us with that, or how are we proceeding in that element?
Well, our agreement currently will come to an end at the end of the year. We're going to try to get as much of that done before our contract expires, and I'll be helping and working with Paul on getting those things shored up.
We'll also be discussing a little later in here on how we may proceed to move forward with this too.
And you said the MOU, you're hoping to have at least an initial draft of that by, next week sometime?
Yes. I'm sorry. I should have said that. I have a really, really bad draft right now. I didn't want to pass it out. We're going to work on it the next few days. I want Paul to read it so that there's nothing in there that's sort of legally problematic. And then we'll have it reviewed by this group here. And then you can do with it what you want at that point. But I intend to have that to you early next week.
All right, Sue, do you want to carry forward then as far as where we go for next steps?
Yes, thank you. And this is actually, John and I are going to present this together, so John, feel free to just jump in. We've come back to this body periodically as we've hit milestones to ask for approval, to ask for your direction and guidance, and that's where we are. As the contract is up for completion at this point, we think we have some significant work to do. Karen is not here. However, John and Karen and I met Tuesday afternoon for several hours, and so we have agreement from the three water chairs as to what we're going to be going through with you. But we think this work is extremely important, not to remind you, but 100 years ago, Des Moines Water Works was put in place with the current structure that we have. Obviously, the discussions that we have had, it's time to make some type of a change. We appreciate the leadership that has come together, the commitment from all of you. We very much appreciate. When we started this, we thought, is it going to be possible to get these six mayors and their city managers to come to these meetings Tuesday and Thursday nights? And you certainly have done that, so we very much appreciate it. We've also expanded looking at some of our existing water utilities, and you've been part of the discussion, and we very much appreciate that. So as we look ahead, we know that we have considered some great examples and best practices with DART, WRA, MPO. Those continue to come up, and I think they have been great structures and great governance issues for us to consider. We've also had some great discussions about future planning and looking at emergency preparedness for our region so that we can back each other up should something occur. And with that, I think it's important that we've all come to the table with really some priorities that we want clean and affordable water for our citizens. We want to prepare for growth, which is happening in some of our communities to a greater extent than others, and to prepare for industry, because we all need that. But along the way in this process, we've had a few changes. We started off with the governing principles that we were going to stick by, our guiding principles. And one of the things was we are not going to transfer assets. And I think we all remember that meeting where we kind of took a detour and we said, if we're going to do this and do it right, we really do need to look at some of the assets that we have. We've looked at asset transfer as an option. I think we're kind of zeroing in on that. But again, I want to remind you, we believe that this is the group that can best determine what is right for our region going forward, not the legislature. So I'm very comfortable. People have said to me, but what about the legislature? They're starting up on the 8th. I have absolutely no problem sitting down with anyone and talking through the process that we have gone through and the amount of hours that we have put in really understanding this. And quite frankly, if someone else thinks they can do it better, have at it. But in the meantime, I think all of us have been able to come to the table, express our ideas, and so I think we have something to share with them this year as we start up session. But we wanted to make sure at this point that we have a commitment from all of you that we want to continue the conversations. You came along with the process under the direction of Jason. As a group, though, we believe that it is time for us to renew the contract with Jason and to continue the discussions. John, do you want to jump in there?
Yeah, I mean, from the three chairs that got together and discussed all this, I think our recommendation would be that we continue the engagement with FCS and also continue to engage the local leaders for facilitation and et cetera. Now, as far as I think everybody basically understands that the costs have been absorbed basically by the three water utilities at this point in time, we, of course, would welcome anybody wanting to come in and help the support on going forward. But maybe even a better way to consider it is to consider these costs as startup costs as we drive forward. So and maybe the three utilities just continue to handle it the way it's been handled. That may be easier. But again, if somebody was willing to, the other communities are willing to step up and help support this, we appreciate it too. So.
To bring all of you up to date on that, we have about 20% of the money that we have allocated by the three utilities remaining for the completion of this work for the MOU. But certainly we've come back to you before we engaged in a contract with Jason to begin with. We came back to you before we engaged in a legal contract with the brick firm with Paul Dre. And so we feel before we make any kind of a commitment to Jason as he delivers off this final project, that we have input from this group as a whole. We do believe that there's an opportunity for even greater leadership from the community. Should this group feel that there is an individual or individuals that can work with Jason, because now there's going to be, I think, not as many meetings like we've been having on Tuesday and Thursday nights, but some more one-on-one discussions with all of you sharing the documents that we will be sending to you or that Jason will send, as well as redlining that. So there's going to be more discussion within your own cities and definitely within our water boards. But, you know, the three areas that we have covered, I mean, certainly governance, we're well into that. Level of service, we've spent a huge amount of time. but it's the real economics. And I think to Mayor Lorenz and Mayor Andwig, I've heard you say numerous times, I need to tell my citizens what this means to them. And we want real-life examples of, is this regional entity, which we think will financially be better, can we give you some examples so you can go to your folks? So that's where we are. We would appreciate the continued engagement and your support of that with FCS. We'd also appreciate your suggestions of local leaders to help facilitate this moving forward. And I'm putting out there a date. I have not heard this from Jason, but in the conversations we've had, we would hope to have our work completed by mid-2018. I'm trying to allow in that the back and forth and the red lines and the legal documents, but I don't know. We may very well throw another, you know, curve at them at some point. But to complete this three-legged stool, we think that is what's important. What we don't want to do is stop the great progress that we've had and to switch horses midstream. So with that, I'll open it up to your questions, discussions.
I just personally think, I think we've done a lot of the hard work now. I think, I'm thinking we can get it done by before mid-year or so, but you know.
That's great.
That's just my personal thought, is I think we're getting to the MOU stage, and then I think it's really, I think it's going to snowball from there and try to get it done. I would hope that we would push to get it done sooner than mid-year.
My only reservation with that would be that from when you, once you get into the financial and the economics of it, there's going to be a lot of different bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. And unless we get everybody really comfortable with that, I think it's going to be difficult for people to sign on. So I think it will take a little bit longer. I would say it's going to probably take at least 6 months.
Okay.
Another reason that I threw that out, I think the session will be quick this year, but we don't know legally about 388 and 389. And so if we do need to make changes to any of the statutes that we have, that's what I had at the back of my mind when I'm saying mid-2018, to ensure that if there are some legal changes that we need to go to our leadership with, we have an opportunity to do that.
John, maybe a little bit too down to the detail of what you meant by startup costs for FCS. Would there be some consideration on behalf of the chairs that the historic FCS costs as well as the future costs could be rolled into an apportionment in the 20F among all the communities?
Sure, I think that's probably reasonable.
I think that's a fair way to do it, is to treat that as spread over the regional entity as it was created.
On the signatories.
Correct.
One thing I'd like to see us be able to do, actually, well, first of all, I think we have to keep moving forward. But as much as possible, if we could detail out a schedule or a path of what we think we're going to be either discussing as a group or a subgroup, as we move through that time period. So everybody's on the same page that in January we should be doing this or that, and then February should be to this point. You know, I realize there's a lot of moving parts and we've changed directions a couple of times, but with the information that we've got at hand, I think if we could come up with a roadmap basically of how we're going to get to the end, I think would be helpful.
And Mayor Lorenz, you've also, and I think it's important for the group to know, you've challenged us at Des Moines Water Works. You said, hey, you own the majority of the assets, come up with a model. And Graham's here, and Graham and I are on a separate committee, a new committee that we've started at Des Moines Water Works. And we do have a model. We've worked closely with Amy and Peggy and our finance area and customer relations, and so we'd love an opportunity to present that. We've shared it with Jason, we've shared it with some other community leaders as well, but I think it's time for each of the entities, if you do have a suggestion or a proposal, let's put that on the table.
Yeah, but I mean, once, if that's going to happen and those things get sorted through, I think that's fine. But I think we just need to have some milestones, I guess, if you will, that at a particular point in this process, we should be here, you know, and as we move down the timeline, just to make sure that everybody is comfortable that we're moving forward and hitting these milestones as we go along.
To address that, if we could ask FCS as well as Paul Dre to work on that timeline for us, a realistic one, we have asked Jason if he would put together a work plan as to what would be included in this next engagement. But I think certainly having that timeline would be appropriate in our request. So we will make that. Is that feasible?
Sue, in addition to that information, I think it's also important that we have some detail around the cost of this. If we're talking about including in the MOU or whatever document, you know, the spreading of the costs across the communities, I think we need to have that information. To date, we haven't shared a lot of this with our city council members.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that we start doing that so that everybody is up to speed. So, you know, we need to share with them the progress that we've made. We need to share with them the costs that have been associated and the costs going forward so that everybody is fully aware as we continue to go down this path. I agree with what your recommendation is. I think that, the consultants as well as the attorney have done a great job of supporting this effort. We still have some more work to do. I'm very, very optimistic that we're going to get to the end, and we're all going to be comfortable with where we end up. And I think that the resources that we've had have been very helpful in getting us to this point, and they need to stick with us to come up with the end product. So,
Mayor Dierenfeld, if I could just address one thing that you mentioned. When the three water utilities came together and we agreed to a price and a contract, what I do not want this to be perceived as now is we invited you to the table and now we're going to ask you to divvy up the work that's been done. So we're very comfortable, should anyone have resistance to that, in not moving ahead by dividing those costs and the starting. However, we think that's part of this process, so we wanted to put that on the table.
That makes sense to me. I may have been told early in this process what the cost was, at least to get us to this point. I don't remember that.
Sure.
And so I think we just need to be open and transparent, make sure that everybody knows what we're getting into.
And I would say as we deliver back to you this timeline and the work plan, we will have costs through the end of the year. So we will have an up-to-date accounting so that we could project that for you so that you see what our total costs are. Any questions from the audience on our proposed next step moving forward?
All right, thank you, Sue. All right, is any further discussion from the board right now? The committee? Is there anyone like to provide any comments from the public right now? Yeah.
I just wanted to, get a clarification on the our workshop last night about the board composition. I know we talked about total service customers, and Andy Fish was one of our district. And as I was thinking about it a little bit last night, I just wanted to give a little clarification because at first we talked about only the ones that sign with the region would have representation. Because we also have total service customers and we have wholesale customers, kind of like New England Water Works has. And I guess I don't feel that those customers should have a seat at the board because they're not the ones actually signing. So I just wanted to get a little clarification. You know, Des Moines Water Works has, I think it's eight total service customers. We have four total service customers. We have six wholesale customers. So I just want to get a little more clarification on that, because then that brings down the board's seats to possibly 13 if it's just wholesale customers that are signing with the region. And not the total service customers. So I want to bring that up, and that kind of segues into what are the options of the wholesale customers. If a wholesale customer, like ourselves or anybody that's a wholesale customer, doesn't sign with the region, are they still have the contract with One Water Works, but then do they not then have a seat on the region, which I guess I really should not actually signing with the region. If they have a problem, they go to whoever they're buying the water from, either us or One Water Works, or if they sign with the region, it's the region. So I guess I just wanted to bring that up to get a little more clarification, see what the options are for wholesale customers, because we talked a lot about communities with production. I just wanted to see what the options are with wholesale customers and bring up the word sense.
If I may, let me give you my take, and your question has a lot of pieces to it, and I'm not sure that I have my mind around each of the piece, but the long and short of it is Des Moines Water Works and Warren Water have an existing contract with a term. Unless we agree to new terms and a new contract, the existing contract would remain in effect. So you and your board can choose or not choose to be part of the new entity if there is a new entity. But that's your decision, and you should you choose not to, then our existing agreement with you would remain the same. And as to your relationship within the water district about wholesale and retail customers, that's your relationship with them, and it is no way impacted by your agreement with us, unless we choose to make that part of the agreement, and that's pretty unlikely. Is that okay? I mean, we can chat afterwards if you'd like, but
yeah.
You're going to be in the position of deciding whether the existing contract is one that should run the term, 2045, or whether as part of a new agreement with a larger group that you would have new terms and an ability to sit on that board, presumably.
Exactly.
Does that make some sense?
Yes.
And Phil, to further that discussion, Andy and I were visiting earlier, so if you give a seat to Windsor Heights, for example, that is a total service customer, do they have a seat at the table? Or how is the contract that Windsor Heights has with Des Moines Total Service different from what Andy has?
Well, they're different terms. There's part of a master agreement that our wholesale customers have that are different than a total service contract, which is unique to each one of the total service customers.
Right.
So there's a lot of kind of term issues going, as in detail issues going on here. But our wholesale customers are part of a master agreement, and the terms are basically the same, whether it's Warren Water or whether it's Norwalk. We have different terms and different conditions in our individual agreements with Berwick, with Pleasant Hill, with Windsor Heights. So we can get kind of caught up in the vocabulary, but a wholesale customer under the master service agreement, we will be in a position where unless there's an agreement otherwise, that contract will go to term, go to the end, go through its duration. Both of us are going to be in a position of being able to decide whether we want to remain in that or not. Otherwise, without mutual agreement to get out of it, it goes to the end of the term. And that's different than a total service
right.
customer, which is again...
It was two separate...
Yeah. And the vocabulary gets a little confusing, but a total service customer is basically a retail customer of Des Moines Water Works. Wholesale customer, very different, set their own rates. With a master agreement that fits 8 or 9 communities. So.
And I know that when we had the 21 seats on the board, some of those were total service.
Yeah. And ultimately, that's a political decision that I think the policymakers are going to decide how that should be constructed. But there's still an underlying contract between Des Moines Water Works and the total service customers. I think that's different than in this thing called reserve capacity and excess capacity. The sense is that purchase capacity goes away in that process. That's very different than our agreement as Des Moines Water Works with total service customers.
Right.
Whether they do or don't have seats on the board ultimately is a policy decision.
Okay. And I just wanted to bring that up to kind of clarify that might bring
Absolutely.
Down actually the total seats on the regional board. Also just what kind of bring up what options are to wholesale customers, just that, do you keep the contract going or do you revert to the regional? I mean, that really hasn't been talked about.
Right.
We've been talking about other bigger issues, but I just, that's maybe a next step and I should bring that up.
Wouldn't the contracts be an asset though? That would come over.
The total service contract between Des Moines Water Works and a community, would that be an asset?
Yeah.
It'd be an asset of Des Moines Water Works. But I don't think Des Moines Water Works has any intention of putting that into the asset pooling that we're talking about here, Gary. They are essentially a retail customer of Des Moines Water Works. They're like a Des Moines neighborhood.
That's distribution.
Yes.
As opposed to production.
We're responsible for their distribution system.
Okay. Any other public comments? Sorry, Bill. Any other public comment? Anything further for the good of the order?
I think for calendar planning, it will be after the first of the year before we come back to you with proposed timeline. We haven't talked about how many meetings a month, but not a huge commitment of your time. I know many people will be busy with the legislature starting up, but we will check with each of you after the first of the year once we have this work plan, share that with all of you electronically, and then ask for feedback as a next step.
Great. Thanks. All right, we are adjourned, I think. So thank you, everyone.